WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org. This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work, Policy, and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work offers a one-year advanced standing option for students with a bachelor's degree in social work that builds on prior training and connects students with expert faculty and 5 specialized pathways. Apply by February 1st at crownschool.uchicago.edu/socialwork. Inspire change. Shape the future.
You might be glad the season is warming up because it means your gas bill can go down, but not so fast. A new report says your gas bill could actually skyrocket in the years to come, even if you don't change your heating habits at all. I'm Natalie Moore, in for Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. It all comes down to how much gas companies spend on their own infrastructure and the cost they ultimately pass off to you. And it turns out they turbocharged their spending in recent years. And if they keep it up and the state doesn't intervene, researchers say the average resident's heating bill could climb as high as $650 a month by 2050. While law and policymakers are taking steps to reduce natural gas usage, those utility companies are pushing back hard. I sat down with WBEZ and Grist Environment reporter Juan Pablo Ramirez Franco for more on how this could impact consumers in the next few years. Juan Pablo starts with how much gas utilities spent on improving their infrastructure in the last 8 years.
So it all goes back to how utilities spend. So the more utilities spend, the more ratepayers end up paying on their utility bills. So investor-owned utilities, like Peoples Gas, don't turn a profit on selling natural gas, actually. Instead, they make a certain profit or percentage of a profit from what they spend on upgrades to their system. So those costs are then spread across Illinois ratepayers. It's kind of like a statewide layaway system that everybody is plugged into. So simply put, the more they spend, the more you end up paying, and that balance sheet is growing.
How much have they spent in recent years?
This number's big, so get ready. The state's 4 largest gas utilities increased their spending by more than $9 billion. That's all money that we're going to be paying off for the next decades. And this spending is for all kind of upgrades. So think about the state's like sprawling gas system. So that includes pipelines, gas meters, gas storage facilities. Illinois has like 10% of the entire nation's gas storage capacity. So it's a lot of material and a lot of infrastructure that we're talking about. And all of that stuff is what makes it possible for natural gas to be a fuel source in Illinois.
What kind of meaningful intervention could happen so our gas bills don't rise that high?
Yeah. So Illinois is in the middle of what some people are calling an unmanaged gas transition. That there's no plan to get from fossil fuel dependence today to 100% clean energy by 2050. So intervention would look like regulators coming up with a plan to phase out natural gas and build out carbon-free energy to replace it.
WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
And the governor, J.B. Pritzker, has signed a Climate and Equitable Jobs Act in 2021, and that commits the state to 100% clean energy by 2050. So these goals are in conflict with each other.
Yeah, they are. So when we think about that law, what it basically did was it set a hard deadline to sunset the use of coal and natural gas power plants from the state's power sector. It also set some targets for bringing electric vehicles into the fold, but it doesn't actually set any decarbonization targets for cutting natural gas from the building sector. And that's a major source of greenhouse gas emissions. In Chicago, for example, our past reporting shows that buildings account for something like 70% of the city's yearly greenhouse gas emissions. Cities are doing their own kind of thing to bring natural gas into the fold in that way.
And the other conflict is that Chicago is pursuing more green energy sources. So in city council, there's an ordinance that would electrify buildings. So new construction couldn't have gas stoves. What does that mean if consumers are on the hook for this infrastructure, but there's also movement to not have gas in buildings?
Oh, Natalie, this is a problem that a lot of people are worried about. And the reason is that, you know, as gas customers begin to depart that base of gas customers, all of a sudden, that amount of money that everybody has to pay back, that big layaway system, is falling on fewer and fewer people. And so exactly who is left holding the bag is a huge question. Does it mean that ratepayers are all of a sudden paying exorbitant rates, perhaps? Does it mean that the investors and the investor-owned utilities have to then also pick up the bag? No one really knows. Does it mean that taxpayers have to pick up the bag by then funding a huge bailout? Again, no one knows. It's this huge mess that nobody really has a good answer for.
What are the utility companies saying? Have they responded to this report? What do they say even about all the money that they're spending?
Yeah, so when it comes to explaining the money that they're spending, they always kind of go back to a line that we hear a lot, which is that it's for safety. Something like 21,000 of our gas lines are 50 years old, so they do need to be replaced. Like, that's a fact. But people kind of pushing against that would say, well, what's the point of replacing all of these pipelines if we're beginning this transition?
Right.
And so this is like the kind of tension that we're working with here. I guess the other thing that is pretty big here is that organized labor is very worried about the jobs that are wrapped up in the natural gas system. A bunch of people work in this industry. And so if we transition too quickly, there's a real concern about what happens to people who rely on this industry for their jobs.
So again, I know we touched on this, but I just want to hit this home. What can the state do?
this is a good question. And so even during the rate cases during 2023, the gas rate hikes, the ICC, that's the Illinois Commerce Commission, decided that Illinois had to start thinking about the future of gas. So this is part of a bunch of proceedings to figure out exactly what that is. So right now, they're figuring that out. That's what we know.
And we know you'll be covering all those meetings and staying on top of this for us.
We sure do, yeah.
That's Juan Pablo Ramirez Franco, an environment reporter for WBEZ and Gris. Thanks for coming in.
Sure thing.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced and mixed by Brenda Ruiz. It was edited by Meha Ahmad. Want to stay on top of the latest news in Chicago? Make sure to sign up for our newsletter at wbez.org/resetnews. I'm Natalie Moore, in for Sasha Ann Simons. Talk to you tomorrow.
My name is Liz, and as a teacher, I think that WBEZ provides endless sources that I can bring back to my students where they can also engage in a deeper understanding. I teach government, I teach U.S. history, and I have used sources from WBEZ in order to help enrich the understanding of my students.